I want to talk to you about prayer today, as you can see in the sheet. In some way, it's kind of related to what we just heard today. I didn't been in United States like for about 6 months, and I'm not living here like for about 2 years, so my English probably is poorest than the last time I talked to you, so you are going to have a hard time trying to understand me, but it's not going to be that long, I promise. So I want to talk to you about prayer, and I have some questions. I'll try to answer them with the word. So first, let's go and pray and ask for God's wisdom, okay? Father God, thank you so much for being our God, our powerful and mercy God. And we ask you today that you will talk to us, give us from your wisdom, clean our hearts and our minds, and renew us to come to you and be holy for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, I was thinking about prayer. For those who remember last time, I talked about fear to God. And I was then saying what to talk to you all. Pastor told me to come and share with you all like 3 days ago. I was not sure what to talk to you. But I think prayer might help you to remember some stuff you already know. Or maybe give you some new ideas of what it is from God and helping your Christian life. So, and this was very important also for example, the disciples. If we can go to Luke chapter 11. We're going to read just the verse 1. And it says, as they approached Jerusalem at some place, call it like that, and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, let's go to Luke 11. You should tell me if I'm doing something wrong. Okay, Luke 11, verse 1, it says, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Well, there is not many things that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them. Actually, I found only one. And that's to teach them how to pray. Well, I guess it will be something really nice to see God pray. I had the opportunity to read some theologians and hear some pastors. And some are really good. But I think that there will be something special to have the opportunity, as the disciples did, to see Jesus talking with his Father. And they had that opportunity to see that probably every day, to have Jesus, the Son of God, talking with his Father. And that was that amazing that one of them went to him after he finished. They didn't want to interrupt him. I wouldn't interrupt him when he's talking with his Father. But and ask him to teach them to pray. And if the disciples saw this, that interesting. I think that will be something that we have to ask to God to. Bible says that we don't know how to pray, and we'll see it later. But God can teach us how to pray. And we need someone to teach us how to pray. For those who try to preach, usually we ask somebody to teach us how to preach and how to talk and everything. But not much people ask other Christians or pastors or leaders to teach them to pray. Well, these disciples, the 12, those who are probably the most wisdom, those who walk with Jesus, those who give their lives for Jesus, they had the need to learn how to pray. They come to God and ask him how to pray. Because it is not a simple thing. Go to the presence of God and talk to him. We use pray probably too much, that it lose its value. When we use some terms too much, it lose their value. For example, being a doctor here is something really, really interesting. When you introduce yourself, and if you are a doctor, that's something you are proud of. Well, if you go some other places, a doctor is not that interesting. It is a profession, but it's not that interesting. Well, some terms in history lose their value. For example, teacher. Being a teacher in the, let's say, 17th century was something amazing. Meaning the parents were proud of their sons, they were a teacher. Well, now it's not that amazing because we had too many teachers. Or be a politician. During the French Revolution, it was something great to be a politician. It was honored. Well, now with the corruption and that many of politicians, it's not that nice. Depends on what kind of politician you are. So that happens sometimes in church too. When we talk and use the name of God too much, and prayer, those things start to lose their importance and their value. And prayer is one of those things. Prayer is when we try to get in the presence of God and try to talk with him. So that's very, very important. We'll see why it is important. But there was something interesting also about the disciples. If we go to the chapter 5 of Luke, chapter 5. You have any question or anything, feel free. We are not much people, so feel free. So, Mark again. I don't use my English Bible too much, sorry. Luke chapter 5, verse 33. And they say to him, the disciples of John often fast and often prayers. The disciples of the Pharisees also do the same, but yours eat and drink. They were saying that the disciples didn't pray too much. Well, they didn't fast also. Well, fast is don't eat to have communion with God. And that was interesting because also I don't see too much the disciples praying in the Gospels. I don't see too many prayers of the disciples. And I'm pretty sure they pray. But sometimes it is important if people know that you are a prayer man. It is important for some people. It's good to be known as a man or woman of prayer. Well, I don't know how many people feels proud when somebody comes and asks him, teach me to pray. I know a lot of people who feels proud when somebody comes and tell them, well, teach me about the Bible, teach me to preach or that. But I don't hear of many people who is proud because somebody comes and tell them, teach me to pray. But when we pray, we can change things. And really, we can do that. And we can see that in James. If we go to James, we're going to use the Bible a lot today. So let's go to James chapter 4. Now we go to the first question. First question is, does prayer make sense? Well, I didn't try to answer what is prayer, and I'm not going to answer that one until the last. I think that it's first important to see if it makes sense to pray. It only makes sense if somebody hear us in the other side. I hate so much when I'm talking and the other person is not listening to me. I hate that. It doesn't make sense. Especially if it is my wife. It doesn't make sense. And I'm doing an effort. I don't talk too much. Usually I'm kind of quiet. So when I try to talk and the other person don't listen to me, well, that doesn't make sense. So it wouldn't make sense if we pray and nobody is listening to us. So we are confident and we are glad to pray because somebody is listening to us. But there's also one more issue. The other person might come listening to us, but what we say maybe doesn't change anything in the other person. Maybe we can talk to the other person for a whole life and nothing changed in the other person. Well, that doesn't make sense either, because we are losing time. Things are going to be the same if we talk to the other person or if we don't. So these two things are important. Then when we talk, somebody is listening to us. And if we talk in some way, we can make something happen for what we say to the other person. And we see that in James chapter 4, it says, chapter 4, verse 2, says, you lose and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And this is amazing. I don't understand that very well, because I'm kind of Calvinist, and those who know, this goes against all the idea of Calvinists. It says, the last part says, you do not have because you do not ask. He doesn't say you will have anyways, even if you don't ask. It says you don't have because you don't ask. You won't have if you don't ask. There are certain things that you will have only and only if you ask. There is no way you can have this thing if you don't pray, if you don't ask to God. And God, the creator of everything, who change lives, who can bring light into the darkness, the almighty and powerful, give to you nothing, the ability to bring things to happen into earth only because you ask, because you pray. That's the power of prayer. It is not a simple thing. Change something in God. Only a man of prayer or a woman of prayer can do that. There are certain things that are not going to happen in your life because you simply don't ask. And you need to do that. And verse 3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Well, that happened too. That happened too. Sometimes we ask and we ask for the wrong motives. But, well, in other parts, Jesus says also that he can give you everything if you ask. Like, for example, in Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew 7 now. Matthew 7, verse 7. It says, verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So it says also, let's go to Luke. It looks better in Luke. Luke chapter 11, again. Chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. It says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish, he will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Well, when we ask to God, sometimes we had learned or had the idea that when we ask to God, there is three possible responses from God. What are those? Yes, no, or wait. Usually we had that in mind. But God didn't say that. God said that if we ask, if we knock, and if we seek, we are going to receive. He didn't say, hey, you are not going to receive something. He said, you are going to receive everything. He didn't say, hey, well, knock and we will see what happens. Or seek and, well, you have to seek for a while. Till I decide what I'm going to answer. He all the time says that he will give it to you. And he said that again in John. Let's go into John 14. I'm going to read just one verse, I promise. John 14, verse 13. It says, well, only two verses. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. It says, whatever. What it means, whatever. Really, whatever? Well, I think some things that maybe God wouldn't do. I mean, that whatever means really whatever. But then he says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do so that my Father might be glorified in the Son. So that's the idea of prayer. As far as God is glorified in the Son, for what you ask, he's going to give it to you. That's the issue. It has to be a prayer that glorifies the Son. When we pray like that, he will give you whatever you ask. So it is not that God sometimes say no, or that God sometimes say wait. It is just that we have room. We had some problems when we ask. We will see that in Matthew. We're going to use Bibles again. Matthew chapter 6. Go to Matthew chapter 6. And this is important too. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to verse 31st. It says, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For these things, eagerly seeks all these things. For the Gentiles, eagerly seeks all these things. And you don't want to be like a Gentile when you go in the presence of God. These things like, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what kind of clothes we will use, or what kind of house I have, and I want, what kind of car I want this year, or where I want to go next year for vacation. Well, these things, the kind of things that Gentiles ask. And you don't want to be like a Gentile before God. So don't confuse things in prayer. Pray something holy that needs a holy human, a holy sanctified human seeking the presence of God in order to glorify Him. You can pray for even a space in the parking lot, but only if that glorifies God. If you are hurry because you want to get out of your car and try to talk with unbeliever, maybe you can pray for a space in the parking lot. But only if that glorifies God. If you are seeking for human things, material things, well, don't do that. That's what Gentiles do. You don't. You are a son of God. And you seek, when you seek God, you seek things that will glorify God. So we have to have that clear. And when we go before God and pray in that way, we're going to receive everything we ask for. And that's always yes. So when we pray, God always says yes. And if when we pray nothing happens, probably it's because we ask in a wrong way. So we have to go and ask for forgiveness because we are asking like a Gentile. We're going back to our old desires, to our old way of thinking. We have to have a renewed mind. We have to demonstrate that not only to the people, but only when we go to God in secret. When we pray in front of the people, well, you don't hear somebody say, God, give me that car. You know, we usually, or if that happened, that happened when we are alone. And that's even worse. Because we try to be godly in front of people, but in front of God, we try to be like Gentile. So that's the worst thing that could happen. If you're going to do that before God, well, at least do it also in front of the people. So they can see what are your intentions. So that's what pray can can show you how is your life. If you see what things are you praying for, you can see what's your motivation when you go in prayer. Well, you can see how is your life doing in your spiritual area. But that's not the worst thing. There are some worse, even worse things in prayer. So when we pray, we try to glorify God, and we will receive everything. And that's the function of prayer. That's why we pray. That's the function of prayer. So, who can pray? Let's try to answer that one. Who can pray? Does everybody can pray? No, unfortunately, not everybody can pray. Let's go to Galatians. Is that right? Galatians, right? Last time I speak to you, I wasn't able even to say the book of the Bible I was talking about. So let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Verse 6. It says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Those are the ones that can pray. Those who have the Spirit of the Son. And that teaches also that prayer is something automatically. When you receive the Spirit of God, immediately you will try to go to God and say, Abba, Father. Abba is a Arameo. How do you say Arameo? It's an Aramaic language. And Abba is a word, very kind word to say father. I guess it would be like daddy or dad in English. So that's the spirit we receive. So immediately when somebody receives the spirit of God, that person is inclined to pray. And you can see that in your life, I guess. If you seek for prayer, well, that's one evidence that you are a son of God, that you have the Spirit of God. Only when grace follows in your life, you are inclined immediately to go and seek God. And if that's something, then it is not happening. Well, you should be a little bit worried. Because it is something that happens automatically. It's in the character of the Son of God. It's an immediate response of need of God. So we will see that a non-believer cannot pray also. Let's go to Job again. I'm going to move. Job, is it right? Job? Chapter 27. What? You know the story about Job, right? I don't have to tell you. Everybody knows about Job. So the friends of Job were trying to tell him that he should ask for forgiveness. He should repentance, because there should be something wrong that he did for what is happening to him. So in this chapter, Job is trying to refute that idea, saying that he been righteousness before God. He didn't did anything wrong. See chapter 27, verse 7. May my enemy be as the wicked, and my opponent as the unjust. For what is the hope of the godless when he is cut off? When God requires his life, will God hear his cry when distress comes upon him? Will he take delight in the Almighty? Will he call on God all times? So Job here is talking of a person who is not really following God. And he says that a person like this, in verse 10, the end of the verse 10 says, will he call on God at all times? Well, definitely he's saying no. A non-believer, a non-Christian person, might can pray. It doesn't mean he's going to be heard for God. Somebody is going to hear him. But he can try to do it. He can show people that he's praying. He can come to church and pray and everything, or in small groups and pray and have great prayers. But he will persevere on that. He won't always pray. There's going to be a point in his life that he's going to stop to prayer. It's not going to be for his whole life that he will pray. And I encourage you that this thing won't happen in your life. Maybe he can pray to God because of fear of the hell. Maybe he can pray because he is too involved in this community and he don't want to lose his friends. Or then he wants to be relieved in his conscience. Then he's praying. So that thing, that means that he is a Christian and he's okay with that. He don't want to his conscience feel guilty. But at some point he's going to stop to pray. Maybe not in one day, but maybe little by little. He's going to forget to pray one day and see that nothing's happening. And then another day. And then after a while, he will completely forgo to pray. And he only will pray in public when the pastor or somebody requests him to pray, or in a small group. And then he won't even pray in public. So if pray is not constant, it's not permanent in your life, there's an evidence that you need of God. Remember, those who have the Spirit of God immediately cry, Abba, Father. It's not something that you desire in your life. It's immediately, it's like breathing for a Christian. It's necessarily, all the time. You can have the Spirit of God here closing his mouth. You can do that. Spirit of God is powerful. You can shut up him. If you have it, well, you have some problems. You have to talk to God immediately. So you need the Spirit of God that is going to motivate you to pray. And also, we are in Job now. We go to Job 15:4. 15:4. This is a very quiet preaching moment. So let's go to chapter 15. Job chapter 15, verse 4. It says, indeed, you do away with reverence. In other versions, it says, you do away with fear, fear to God. And hinder meditation before God. Or prayer before God. Because these two things, the fear to God and prayer, go along. It's easily, you can sin your life. If you don't pray, well, you don't fear to God. If you don't fear to God, you won't pray. Because you easily can see if you do something wrong, if you sin in some way, it's hard to go to God and present yourself before God. It's kind of hypocrite. Is it right? Hypocrite? Hypocrite. Thanks. So you won't do that. And that helps you also in your spiritual life. You will see, if you remember, well, I have to pray tonight or in the afternoon, and you have a temptation. It's more possible that you don't fall in temptation if you have a praying life. Because you will know that you have to present yourself in a few hours or in a while before your God. So it goes along. If you don't fear to God, if you don't care if you do sin, God is going to forgive me anyway. Well, that person don't pray definitely. So it goes along. If you pray, you will see how in your life there is a fear of God. And that fear of God is going to grow every day. And that prayer perseverance is going to grow. You can see your spiritual level on how is your prayer life. You can see your spiritual level there. As I say in the beginning, I was able to read the Bible and see some characters in the Bible. Some pastors or theologians or teachers and see many difference in their lives. But there was only one thing that they all good men of God or women of God had in common. A fear of God and a prayer life. They had these two things in common. There is no way that somebody can be used by God if that person that doesn't have a prayer life. He cannot be changed by God. He's actually not being changed by God if he doesn't have a prayer life. Well, I believe also salvation is not by prayer. Yeah, salvation is by grace. But there is no way that you can be saved and don't desire before God in His presence. It's immediately. One goes with the other. It's like jambalaya. You cannot do jambalaya without rice. You need rice to the jambalaya. If there is no rice, there is no jambalaya. So if there is no prayer, there is no safe person. If there is a safe person, there is prayer. And that you can examine your life. It's an easy way to examine your life with prayer. Well, preachers or pastors or leaders, we don't tell people, we don't say people that he or she is safe. We don't tell you that you are safe or you are not safe. Bible don't tell us to tell you that you are safe. We can tell you how to be safe. How the Bible says that you can be safe. And we can tell you how you can see in the Bible that you are safe. But we can't tell you that you are safe. And one way you can see that you have the Spirit of God in your life is because it's through your prayer life. That's key. That's very important. So, we go to Zechariah now. Is it right, Zechariah? Chapter 12. Chapter 12. The verse 10. It's about the saints and Galatians. I will pour out on the house of David and in the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. These two go along. Grace and supplication, grace and prayer go along. Immediately. I say immediately. It goes immediately. Once you say you want to pray, you want to go before God, you want to get in the presence of God, it's immediately. That spirit cry, Abba, Father. It needs. So that's why we have to be careful with our prayer life. It's not a simple thing. It will help you a lot to see if we are growing God, if we need more God. And especially when you don't want to pray, you have to pray. That's the best moment you have to pray. When you don't want to pray, you have to pray. And ask God to teach you to pray. So that's those who can pray. Yeah? Who can pray? Only sons of God. Otherwise, if you are not a son of God, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You will try to pray, but at some point you are going to stop to pray. It's not going to be for your whole life. Okay? So now we have also to pray. Why we pray? Well, because it is also a commandment. Yep, we can see that in Matthew 26. Go to Matthew. No, it is not 26:41. Well, it is when Jesus went to pray in Gethsemane, you know, and bring his disciples with him and tell them, pray so you don't fall in temptation. Do you remember that? It's a commandment to pray because we live, we live here in this world, but there is another world too, the spiritual world. And that's probably the most important world. Our spirit and how our spirit is and the fight. Remember Ephesians. We are not going to go to Ephesians. But the fight is in the spiritual world. It is very important. But let's go to John. John 14. John 14. We're going to read the verse 1. It says, in your Bibles, there is some separation, right? It is 14, 1 and finishing 14, is it right? No? Or maybe. So that means there is a teaching that you have to learn. And 14, it says, do not let your heart be troubled. 14 finish. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So, if there is some problems in your life, there is temptation, you have some troubles in your life, if you don't have peace in your heart, well, you can pray. That's what praise is for too. This is a spiritual world. And sometimes we don't understand that. We forget about that. If you read these 14 verses, we're not going to read. I would lie, but we're not going to. But you will see that Jesus is talking about that he's going to go and prepare a place for his disciple. He means in heaven. But then a disciple tell him, well, we don't know where you're going to go. How we can know the way? So they were talking in a different world. Jesus was talking in a spiritual way, and they were talking in a human way. And then he said, if you really see me, you see the... they say, show us the Father. They say, well, if you really see me, you see the Father. Because they weren't able to understand very well how works this spiritual world. And we need to introduce ourselves more in that spiritual world. And one way to do it is when we go to pray. Because when we go to pray, we leave this whatever noise we have around us, as we were trying to do in the beginning, and try to seek for the presence of God. And that's key. That's necessarily, because there is too many temptations, too many ways to fall. And also because there is somebody that his work is only made you to fall. You know, we're talking about Satan. That's his job. His job is try to make you fall in a temptation, try to make you sin. And we need to pray. You remember Job? Well, Satan went to God and asked God to put Job in some temptations. And the only way Job could fight with that was through prayer, through crying upon God. That was his only way. Because everybody leaves Job. His wife, his sons died, his friends were accusing him. So he didn't hide anybody. The only way who could resist those temptation moments was through prayer. But he wasn't the only one. There was one more also in the New Testament. Let's go to Luke 22. Verse 31, it says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. Well, Satan constantly asks permission to sift you like a wheat. And that's very bad. He's trying to do something very bad with you. But Jesus, in this case, he prayed for Simon. That was amazing. He was going to be tempted. You are going to be tempted, he said. But I already pray for you. It says in 22, says, but I pray for you that your faith might not fail. The only way you can you can sustain your faith, what you believe, is through prayer. Prayer and faith go along too. And Jesus finished saying, and you, when once you have returned again, strengthen your brothers. Because through prayer, Jesus knew that he is going to return. Although he fall, although he fall in temptation, he prayed for him, and he knew that he, after fall, is going to come back to Jesus. That's the way you can sustain your life. He didn't say, I pray for you, then your faith might not fail, and if you return, no, he knew that he was going to return already because he prayed for him. And when you return, strengthen your brother. When you pray, that doesn't mean that you won't fall. Probably you will fall. Definitely you will fall. But if you pray and you fall, be sure that you are going to return. You won't persevere in that fullness stage. You are going to return. And when you return, you will estrange your brothers. You're going to learn from that. But you constantly have to pray all the time. From prayer, we can, it's huge. We can do for, and pastor probably can tell you for weeks about prayer. But that doesn't mean anything if you don't practice that. You don't have a life of prayer. You can learn a whole life about prayer and don't finish. Well, finally, we go to John 6. Let's go to John 6. That's supposed to be our base verse. John 6. From 60 to 69. We're not going to read all that either. Do you remember I said that you won't find too many places in the gospel where the disciples are praying? That's kind of weird, but you won't find too many. You find Jesus, yeah. And Jesus every day left everybody and went to prayer or spent the whole night praying. But not many places the disciples are praying. Well, I didn't find many either. But in this case, in this portion, Jesus had many disciples, not only the 12, but he had some more. And we can read the verse 60. John 6, 60. It says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this say, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Jesus was talking, Jesus is love, but he was talking only a kind of strong things to him. Many were following him, but after he said the things, many stopped to follow him too. We read verse 66. 666, it says, as a result of this, many of his disciples, why drew and were not walking with him anymore. And that's what you can see. A true disciple of God will persevere in God. Although there is temptation and troubles and everything, a true disciple of God is going to persevere. But as a result of what Jesus just said, many left. 67, continue saying, so Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon again. See, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You know, to know that Jesus is the Holy One of God, that's a miracle. That declaration of Simon Peter, that was a miracle. I think we need to finish. Okay, I finish. That's a miracle. That's grace. We go to Romans, we're not going to go. No, Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, the one who brings light into darkness is the one who, I don't know if I say it right, enlightens your mind to see the glory of God through the sun, something like that. Well, that's grace. When God put in your mind grace to know that He is the only way, that Jesus is your Savior and died for you, and then you answer like Peter, saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. Immediately, when you know that He is the Lord, He is your Savior, immediately you won't want to go to anywhere else. You will want to go and be in His presence. Where else you can be? There is no other place you can be except in the presence of God. And that's what Peter wants to be. He wants to be in His presence. He didn't want to go anywhere else. Well, in the presence of God, you can hear God's voice and you can talk with Him too. This is the only way. That's the important issue. And I encourage you. God says, if you seek, you find. Well, if you didn't have a prayer life, well, God is encouraging you to seek, to call, and He will answer. If you are not having a prayer life, well, God is inviting you to have a relationship through prayer with Him. And that's key for a Christian life. So try to examine your life through your prayers time. And see what is your condition before God.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.